Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise God, church. Yeah. Okay, welcome back from the week. I hope it was good. Yeah, seeing the faces, it looks like it was good. Okay, so those of us who were not around last week, we learned how to only believe, and we read from Mark chapter 5, verse 36, where Jesus said to Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue, and he had gone to Jesus to ask for the daughter to be healed, but the daughter died before Jesus could reach her. And when that message came to Jairus, Jesus immediately told him, do not be afraid, only believe. And so we learned that concerning our promises, we should also only believe and not be afraid. But how do we do that? We learned that we should remain where? Okay, remain in the company of believers, prisoners of hope, those people who have believed, just like in Mark we saw Jesus taking James, John, and Peter, together with their parents, to go and resurrect this young girl. The same way, we need to remain in the company of those people who have believed, who are also holding on to the hope, yeah? Just like Father Abraham, whatever the promise is. And we have our promise as LAT, we also have our individual promises. The other thing we learned is that we should stay put and not jump out. And Sam has, Mr. Isoke, Engineer Isoke, has just shared a testimony here of how he stayed put. And what happened? The work was finished. Yeah, it was certified and it was finished. So we should stay in the place of the promise. We learned that the disciples were given the promise by Jesus before he left that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But stay in Jerusalem, do not depart from Jerusalem in Acts. And they stayed there, they were in one accord, another thing we learned, and the Holy Spirit did come upon them just as Jesus had promised. And lastly, we learned that we need to get ready and be prepared. Yes, so you've believed. Oh, by the way, yes, last week we confirmed that in this room right now we are believers. We have believed in the promises of God, but if you find you haven't believed, you can go out first, get the faith, then come in this room of what? Of believers. Yeah, but don't stay out. Stay near the door. And then come in the room. So we have believed the promises of God. And how do we get ready and prepare for them to be fulfilled? And we read from 1 Chronicles chapter... Okay, not yet, Mark. Chapter 28, verse 19 to 21, where learning from how David prepared his son, Solomon, to build the temple of God. And in verse 19, David said that the Lord made me understand. Oh, thank you very much, Mark. In this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And again, Sam gave an example here. The Lord was with them. They finished. The project was what? In his words, certified. And all the big words he used as an engineer is okay, yeah. But they finished the work and the lab is complete. So I thought I should just go back a bit to that bit of the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of his hands. In that we see that God will not only give you a plan, but he will make you understand all the works of the what? The plan. So when God gives you the plan, because he's the one, he's the beginning and the end, he will not confuse you. He shall make you understand all the works of his plan. And actually in the Amplified version, it says the details to be done. Yeah? So you may have the bigger vision or whatever it is, but God will also give you the plans. And then the other bit about here is that his hand will be upon you, his blessing. Because it says, by his hand upon me. Yeah? So God gave him the plans. He made him understand in writing, but by his hand upon me. When we read in different places of the Bible where it says God's hand was upon him, or some and their laying of hands and all, apart from healing and all that, usually it is associating with blessing, being blessed. So God will not only give you the plans, but also his hand is upon you and he will bless you. And actually last Sunday when we ended with the blessing, didn't we? Where is my friend Bob? Did you read the word for the week? Oh, yes, okay. I will not say the answer, but we should read the word for the week. Those who are not here, it ended with a blessing, and the blessing was for all who were here and all who were not here around. So then the last bit, I thought I should emphasize a bit there in terms of getting ready. It was in writing, yeah? It was in writing. So if you have a promise, have you written? Where is it, by the way? Is it in your head, in your heart? Where is that? Where is it, in the air? I don't know. Yeah, you need to write it down. If you read the scriptures, there were so many people who were called scribes, yeah? They would scribe and scribe. Around Kings, if you read the history, you'll find they were scribing. And that word scribing means to engrave, to inscribe. So there's the power in writing down what God has promised, yeah? And we have seen that power here. The reason Pastor Moses, Pastor Joanne, all the different elders are able to come here and remind us, because they have written down from how many years back? November 2nd, 2000, yeah? Is one of the dates I know, but there may be another date. Yeah, being writing down these things. So let us write down these things and inscribe them. But also when you write it down, when the time comes, and we'll see later, for you to action that, you have the what? You have the script. Now you don't go back to disturb God. That what did you say exactly? What, eh? When things, you're during elections, you're confused, yet God already gave you the what? The plan. So let's write down this plan. Okay, so I thought I should just speak more about that. And maybe before we finish the recap from last week and we get into what I'll be sharing today, by the help of the Holy Spirit, when my daughter listened to the sermon, she's not here, she told me that she had one question, yeah? And that one question she had was, but what promise has God given her? After she had noted the different things that stood out for her, she said, but wait a minute, what is the promise? And my answer to her, if you like that, is 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Yeah, I think if there's any other promise, apart from the promise of Jesus coming back for us, like we had last time, the promise of the resurrection and so forth, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear, nor be afraid, for the Lord God will be with you. Yeah? The Lord God will be with you. Isn't that a promise? That is a promise. Yeah, it doesn't have to say that, say the Lord, this is what I promise you. The Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not only be with you, he will not leave you. He will not only not leave you, he will not forsake you. You know those two words, eh? Are different, eh? In terms of he's leaving you, but forsaking. He will not forsake you. Usually forsaking happens when things go what? Bad, eh? And hard, and people are like, we don't know what you're, but he will not forsake you until you have finished all the work of the service of the Lord. So I thought I should end up with a recap in case you went back and you are asking, but all these things, where is the promise? So today I wanted us to share more about preparation, getting prepared. And let's read again from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, not again, but 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Thank you, Mark. Verse 1 to 5, and then we shall come back to verse 2. Therefore the king said to all the assembly. So this is a continuation of after the last verse that we have read of I'll be with you. So King David had been talking to the assembly. There were leaders, there were all these captains, and now he's continuing. And he says to the assembly, the children of Israel, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young. Oh, wait a minute. This verse, I have to read it. For my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. I cannot read it the way Pastor reads it, because this is what God told him. But my son Solomon, whom God alone has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord. Verse 2. Now, for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might. Gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistering stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Let's first stop there. In verse 2, sorry, Mark here. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all might. So even as we are preparing, we need to prepare with all our might. And when we see in these scriptures, what does might actually mean? Don't rush to the English dictionary or to Chat GPT. It's here, yeah? You see that full colon, might. It starts to be prepared by might. How? Gold, things to be made of gold, silver of things, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistering stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. And it continues. Okay, let's first stop there. So we see there that might is in terms of actual items, yeah? Gold, silver. There were things, you could see them, you could touch them. Part of preparing that might is we need to have, you need to have something, you need to bring something, you need to bring something, and it should be the best, yeah? It should be the best, and for its purpose. There was gold for things to be made of gold. But remember, you have a plan, yeah? So these things are not haphazard. So even the materials that were being gold were in line with the plan, yeah? If you're planning to be a farmer, like Mr. Kulubia, the plan you have, you now don't collect things of a warehouse, yeah? As preparation, you get the gold for the farm, whatever that gold means. So gold things for gold, silver for things, and so on and so forth. So it was materials in kind. There were many things of different quality and variety, and they were for the specific use. So as we prepare for our promises, let's prepare in might, yeah? And I thought I should also share about some of the people in the Bible who I believe prepared with all their might, and the first one is Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, first go back to chapter 1 verse 4. Did I give it to you, Mark? Maybe not. Okay. But Daniel came from captivity. He came, it's there? Yeah, okay, we'll get there. But we all know the story of Daniel. If not, feel free to read it. He was part of the young men who had been brought, into Babylon when King Nebuchadnezzar. So how it started, King Nebuchadnezzar besieged Judah, and the king then of Judah was King Jehoiakim. And he commanded that some of the children of Israel and descendants, some of the nobles, are taken along to Babylon. So that is how Daniel gets into this lot of people to be taken. And in verse 4, this is what the king said, that he wanted young men. So this is what young men, no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans, okay, the literature of that, Alison, you're the one, okay, Chaldeans. So we see here that it started from him being part of captivity. He goes to the palace, but there was a prescription of what the king was looking for. He was not just looking for spiritual, he was looking for a young man. So if you are not a young man, you're not what? eligible. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, but you're not. You've seen those adverts. Eh? It's good to be all young people. Hallelujah. Yeah, enjoy your time when you're young. So young, no blemish, good looking. Eh, things are serious. Eh? He was good looking, gifted in all wisdom. This is what Daniel had, because remember, he was chosen. And those days when the king ordered you to bring something, you don't bring your own things. Eh? And you start explaining, okay, this person is not so young, not so good looking. What? But I thought they would make it. They had to make the cut. Help me, they are my friends, whatever. Young, no blemish, good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand. These are the people the king wanted, quick to understand. I don't want to explain things many times. Eh? Yeah, and you're not understanding. Quick to understand, ability to serve in the... Yeah, he had work to do. Remember, ability to serve in the king's palace, yeah? And whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So, of course, they had to teach them the language of the Chaldeans. So, part of preparation of all your might is these things. What do you have on you? Yeah? What do you have on you? You may be good looking, you may be young, you may be old, you may be whichever demographics you come from. What are you gifted in? Yeah? What are you gifted in? What are your talents? What knowledge do you have? Whatever it is, that is part of you being prepared, because the fact that he was chosen, he was already in these things. Yeah? I don't know if you see what I mean. If they are looking for engineers for that job, that engineer is okay. You don't start preparing and saying, I started school, I'm studying engineering. They have already said you want engineers with 10 years experience in Uganda's local market. Eh? So you're already ready. So Daniel already had these things. Eh? He was young, he was good looking, he was gifted. Of course, we know that because he was a Jew and all that, how he was learning from the Torah, possessing knowledge. And now the other things that they needed to train in him was the ability to serve what? In the palace and also the language, yeah? Like some people are learning Swahili, Spanish, Luga. I don't know what language is you. Oh, is there a business language? I don't know, but not the language that people talk about it. Yeah. And he prepared in verse 5, it says that they prepared for 3 years. Yeah? Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. They were prepared for 3 years in the delicacies and the wines, because the things that happen in the palace are a bit different. Eh? There are delicacies, there are wines, things he may never have seen. And at that point, Daniel, okay, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's. They were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. So preparing with all your might is not just about what you already have, yeah, your experience, your all that, but you also have to be willing to be trained, yeah? Whether you're in LAT, whether you're in whatever you're doing, you are a teacher, you are a student, you are at home, working from home, you are a farmer, you have to be trained, yeah? It's part of the preparation, yeah? We know Daniel was a prophet. Do we know that? Yeah, but he was trained, eh? He was trained. The other thing of around being prepared with all your might, he purposed not to defile himself. Why? Because for him, he knew where he was coming from, eh? That this is not, he had been taught. And we have here young adults who are here. Your parents are training you in the way of the things of the Lord. And one time, you shall find yourself before kings. Yeah, before, I don't know, maybe your looks will take you there, maybe your height, crazy, maybe your height will take you into the palace, your beauty, your academic excellence, I don't know whatever that palace will take you there, but there are some things you have to already be ready to do. And in verse 9 of chapter 1, he purposed not to defile himself, and when he did that, he also found favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So you will, so now God, you see again, God is in the picture. Yeah? As David may have been prepared, he's being trained, but he wanted to serve God. Yeah? He wanted to live according to God, to remain God. So God caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. maybe before that, the verse before that is when he had purposed and said, I don't know if it was before that, when he said that he shall not defile himself. Verse 8, yes? Yeah. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself. So he was going to be trained. You arrive in the palace. They tell you this is what you're going to do. They show you the things. You're like, wow, I have arrived. But Daniel, he knew what was in him, his spirit, and he resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and so on. So he asked for permission and he found favor. So in verse 9, and then while he was being prepared and he was prayed by with all his might, he, even when the eunuch, he found favor, there was sort of a deal made, because this guy was like, they'll cut off my head, if I present you and you're not looking like what you're supposed to look like. So in verse 10, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned you food and drink. Yeah, why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? Daniel was young. I don't know the exact age, but maybe a teenager or something like that. And the king would then have my head because of you. Having the head is not a symbolic. I actually chopping off the head. That's what I think. Like, yeah? Yeah, you die because you're looking worse. Then Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief officer had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, these were the other people with him, Mishael and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. So he had to be tested. There is acceptable, but he had to be tested for 10 days to see, okay, what you're saying, that for you won't enjoy the delicacies, but you can do something else because it's defiling you. Okay, you test us and we'll see. And he asked for waters and vegetables, but these vegetables, I don't think, I want to believe that Daniel already was eating vegetables. Yeah? Yeah, because can you set yourself up for failure in the palace? I want to believe that he was already eating what? Vegetables. And at a certain point in his life, he had eaten what? Vegetables and water, and maybe he had eaten them for a month, not even 10 days. So he knew what he was talking about. He knew the resolve that I know that God will do this. Anyway, as we read on, in verse 14 and 20, so he agreed and they tested them for 10 days. And if we jump to verse 20, they were presented, and wow, the outcome of the vegetables and water was nothing to write about. Anyway, but they were presented later. They took away their portions. Okay, verse 16, the steward took away their portions and delicacies and wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. In verse 16, and they were brought at the end. Okay, verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. Verse 18, now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And there was a verse I was looking for. Before 20, verse 15, the one that said that they looked better, yeah? 15, at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter. How is this possible? we need to, in flesh, than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. So I wanted to first talk about this. They ate the vegetables, and after 10 days, they looked better. And so this gentleman who was in charge of them was like, my head has been saved. I will present you, yeah? And so they were presented, and at the end of the days when the king had said they should be brought in, verse 18, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them. The king did what? Yeah, some of us don't like interviewed, but the king what? Remember, he had already passed the credentials for all parts and purposes. God was with him. We saw earlier God was with him. We read that one promise that God gave is to be with us. God is with you. God is for you. God has given you the promise. But preparing by your might means you have to be ready for the interview, whatever that interview means to you. Yeah? whether it's an exam, you're going to do an exam to choose which people are going to get scholarships, whether it's a competition, I don't know, maybe whether it's a business deal, and you're going to present your business case somewhere, you have to be ready. The king interviewed them, and and in verse 20, it was found that in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them. Yeah, so part of the interview was around wisdom and understanding, which the king examined. And he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers who are in all his realm. Yeah, 10 times better. So as we prepare with our might, we should go back and ask, what do you have? Whatever you have, whatever you have, that you, the worship team, people, you have different gifts, giftings of how you worship. Mark here, Rachel as an administrator, people who work in the church, yourselves, wherever you are, get ready. And in terms of your preparation with all your might, purpose not to defile yourself. Know that you will be tested, as part of the preparation. But again, the test is in your hands, just like Daniel, and God is with you. He'll give you favor, and you'll be able to exceed when the interview comes, whatever the interview will be, in all matters for which God. For Daniel, remember, he was chosen. When they were being chosen, they said they wanted people of possession of knowledge, quick to understand. So that is what the examination was about. God will not examine you in something for which he has not prepared you for, if I can put it that way. It will be the same exam. He's good. It will be in the same area, and you shall pass it. But you have to purpose. Part of preparation is purposing not to defile yourself. Not to defile yourself and being ready for the interview. The other one is Esther. Esther also similarly, captivity, ends up somewhere in a palace. And I know most of us have read that story of Esther. Esther chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. So, of course, there was a king called King Ahasuerus. Yeah, King Ahasuerus. In chapter 2, first go verse 1, and who had the queen, his wife, the queen Vashti, had refused. He had called for her to be earlier in the earlier scriptures. He had called for her to come and display her beauty, because she was beautiful to what? To behold. So there was a feast. The king issues a command for her to come. The queen refuses. Why she refuses, I don't know. Anyway, that set in motion, that disobedience set in motion for the search for a new queen. So after the king had been very angry, and after his anger had subsided, in Esther chapter 2 verse 1, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, as in disobeying his command, and the embarrassment. You have guests and all that, and the queen refuses, and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended to him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king. And so officers were appointed, and they went to seek out for these what? Beautiful young virgins. And one of the beautiful young virgins was who? Esther. So Esther was young. Esther was a virgin. Those were the prescriptions, She was young, she was beautiful, she was a virgin, and actually it says somewhere else that she was lovely and beautiful. So not only beautiful, but also lovely. Generally, she was beautiful. I don't know what she really looked, but she really must have been very, very beautiful. And she had been brought up by Mordecai, brought up Hadassah, that was the name that she was, and Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father or no mother. So the other thing, she was an orphan. She was an orphan. So not everything was going for her. She was an orphan. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So it was when the king's command and decree were heard, and there were many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel, under the custody of Haggai, that Esther, who was taken to the king's palace, into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. So she was an orphan. She was lovely and beautiful. We see here she had been raised by Mordecai, and she was taken, not alone, with many, how many what? Women, and all those women also made the cut for the prescription. Because remember, in Esther chapter 2, verse 2, they were looking for beautiful young virgins. So she was among those many, the many. So again here we see that preparation by your might, already God finds you when you have something. Eh? If they are looking for young, beautiful, what? If you are among God's people who are young, God will, you have to go there. Yeah? And Mordecai had already been preparing her, not only for beauty, I guess, but also for training her in the way that she should go. And so when the call was made, she was ready. Yeah? She was ready to go there. And of course, if you are a boy, you can also be good looking and handsome if they are looking. By the way, in years in Uganda, and I think President Amin, when they were choosing soldiers, they used to look for tall, height, big. I don't know if they still take measurements for soldiers. So you'd find that the soldiers happen to come from a certain part of the country, because they were the ones who were endowed with that height. Yeah, so all of a sudden your height becomes a what? An advantage. You may be saying, me, I'm too tall, me what? But your height becomes an advantage, and you end up in the what? In the army. In the army of the Lord. Or doing high jump, I don't know, or netball, whatever it is. Anyhow, so these were the young. So again, Esther had to undergo beauty preparation. So whereas she was already beautiful, she had to undergo beauty preparations. And in Esther chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, each young woman's turn came to go into the king Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation. In the case of Daniel, it was 3 years of training. Here it's 12 months preparation. So again, we see that part of preparation of royal might, in addition to having the materials and all that like David had, there's also training, for that you have to undergo. And training in that thing, you see, Esther was not being trained in wisdom and what? And understanding. It was beauty. So it was preparations around beauty. I don't know maybe how you're supposed to walk when the king calls you. Always, I think it even says, it goes on to say, according to the regulations for the women, actually, for thus were the days of their preparation apportioned. So things were serious. You'd start with 6 months. Ladies, you can borrow notes. Eden, that bench, all of you, when it's time to get married, you can tell your parents to get you oil of myrrh, perfumes and what. You need to start in a year in advance. You see, these things are very serious. Anyway, 6 months with perfumes, preparations for beautifying women. So you see, she was not being prepared in what? Language of the Chaldeans. But she was also a captive. Here, the job was known, what she was supposed to be doing, and she was prepared for that. She was prepared 12 months. I know we have been preparing part of our, like I said last week, even with a few, but you need to continue preparation with all your might. You don't stop. If you're the preacher of the word, you find out what level am I going to. If you're a worship leader, what is the next preparation? If you're a business person, what is that? If you're a student, don't get comfortable with where, and God has gifted you with something that you already have. You already have it before they prepare you. Then you should also up your game. And then also, Esther, just like Daniel, reached a point where she had to sort of go back to her walk with God. And this was at the time when the Jews were going to be destroyed by Haman. Later on, we see in Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. And at that time, Esther was enjoying the beauties, everything. And in verse 12, Mordecai tells Esther, You can go back and read the whole of the book of Esther. You may not have time for it, but Mordecai tells Esther that do not think, in verse 13, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than the other Jews. Yeah? So, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So beauty aside, preparation aside, there was a reason Esther was a good purpose. Why she was what? In the palace. And Mordecai had to quickly remind her that, my daughter, don't think that as they destroy us outside the palace, you're going to escape. You're going to survive. But I think for me was the reply by Esther that was really like, it was something. Immediately she said, go gather all the Jews who are present, this verse 16, in Shushan, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day. She already knew the practice of fasting, and praying. I don't think it started because she had been trained by Mordecai. It didn't start when she was in the palace, So there are certain things, just like Daniel was eating vegetables before, something like that. She was already, also Daniel used to pray and fast. She was already fasting. My maids and I will fast likewise, So this business of telling people, pray for me, fast for me. Things are hot here in the palace. As for you, continue to eat the delicacies and to march around, you have to reconsider, pray for me, fast for me, pastor, business is hard, what, fast for, no, You should also have, set yourself aside, You yourself, my maids and I will fast likewise. And then, I think this is for, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. You people, we're talking about a beautiful queen. I don't know who the most beautiful queen you've seen, or the most beautiful lady you've ever seen. And this queen is talking about fasting and what? And praying. She's talking about if I perish, I perish. In this world, this is someone who definitely had a relationship with God. So preparation by all your might. You may have what you have. You're young, you are virgin, you're tall, you're whatever, whether it's your body makeup, whether it's your knowledge and wisdom and understanding like Daniel, whether you have been trained, prepared, part of that might also involves the things of God, fasting, praying, setting yourself up even as you get ready for the promises. So we should study with all our might. I already talked about it. Whether you're studying the Bible, history, church growth, parent, whatever it is, you should work with all your might. Listen with all your might. If God has gifted you with someone, your friends have told you, Eden, you're good at this. And it's a common thing everyone tells you. Those are usually signs and symptoms of the area in which God. And they are not telling you these things when there's excitement of, okay, turn to your neighbor and tell them what is good. Usually that those moments people are forced to say things. But these are things that they tell you. Maybe you find someone at the canteen, they say something. You are at the pitch, they say something. Those things could be the things that you need to deal with and pray over with all your might. So are you prepared to give in all your might? Teddy, you have your list. Are you prepared to refine your gifts and talents? Like Esther and Daniel. Esther's beauty was refined. She was already beautiful and lovely, I've told you, but after 12 months, I don't know. I think she would be seen like from and everyone just beholds, because that was the whole point, where you're speechless to behold. Daniel was excellent in spirit and he distinguished himself. The other point I want to talk about is praying with preparing with affection. So I've talked about preparing with might, now preparing with affection. Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3. We have gone back to the scripture where David is gathering the assembly. He has talked about how prepared with his might and the God. Now he's saying in verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection. When someone is affectionate, they are warm. they are full of love. Eh? When you say, yeah, you, affection, it goes with love on the house of God. So David had set his affection. He really wanted to build this house. Eh? He really, I don't know what he told God in heaven, that really, he really wanted to build this house. Anyway, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I've prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. Okay, let me read it from here. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. Yeah. So we can see here that with his affection, because he loved, he gave willingly. He had his own special treasure of gold and silver that he gave. Yeah. This is actual gold. These are dimes. Eh? Yeah, I think if you read on, let's go to the special gold of the verse 4. I think it talks about it. Yeah. 3,000 talents of gold. Yeah, talent, I think, was the currency. Yeah, some kind of currency of gold, gold of Ophir. 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house. Anyhow, and then it goes on to verse 5. This was David's special treasure that he had prepared for. So if we are preparing, and as we prepare to see the promises of God, part of our affection should be that we are also willing to what? To give. Eh? And I know when I was preparing for this, I really did not want to put this this bit here. Eh? I didn't want to put this bit here because I don't want it to be misunderstood, but it is in the Bible. Eh? Prepare the special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, verse 4, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overweigh the layers of the earth. Verse 5, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of gold, and all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. And then he asked, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? After he had said what he was going to give, what he had given. We also saw Esther. She called for a fast, but she also did what? Fasted and prayed. Yeah? So even concerning your promises, you have to show up. Eh? You have to show up with affection. Eh? You have to show up with affection. And concerning giving, we know what 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to 8 says. Yeah? That, so let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart. Concerning the promise of LAT, yeah, concerning your promise, give as your purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficient in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God enabled David to put aside this treasure, yeah? This treasure of gold and silver, and he was able to give. And when he asked the assembly that who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord, note that he asked who then is willing to consecrate himself. I'll come back to that. He didn't ask who then is willing to give. Yeah, because what he has been talking about is giving. I have a treasure, I have this. And then the question he asks in verse 5, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5 is, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? And verse 6, this was the response. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers of the king's work, offered willingly. They did what? Offered willingly. And that brings me to my next point of preparation. Yeah, you have to, offering willingly is actually part of consecration. Because here, David asked about who is willing to consecrate themselves. And they were like, we are here. And they offered willingly. You know what offering willingly is? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to 8 is one of the verses we have read. And when we continue to read 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6 to 9, we see that in verse 7, they gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents. So they also gave, yeah, like seeing what had been given, 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver. And they were not stealing these things, eh? I think they had them from there. Sometimes when they would have those wars and they would take, what was it called? There was a word used when you dispose, yeah? Yeah, they would take their spoils, yeah? Along their journey. So they had these things and they were for them to use and all that. So there are certain spoils God has given you. Tell your neighbor you have certain spoils. Eh? Andrew, you have certain spoils God has given you in your day-to-day work. A time is going to come when you have to what? As part of consecration, offer them what? Willingly. Don't now start praying that God weighs it. You have the spoils, eh? You have the spoils, and you should be able to give them willingly. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jehiel. These names are teasing me. Yeah. And the people rejoiced, yeah? For they had offered willingly. Again, it's there in verse 9. They had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So as we prepare for our seeing the sudden growth, eh? Suddenly, overnight, that's what is going to happen. Suddenly what? Overnight. Part of that means consecration. It also means giving willingly. And you already have what to give, yeah? Lest you're wondering where the money will come from, yeah, all the things. I've already told you, you have some spouse. If you need your eyes to be open, God can also answer such prayers, eh? Of open the eyes of my what? Understanding, so that I can see. He answers them, eh? And you should be able to give. And later, because David was very happy, very joyful, the other people had given to an area that he was very affectionate. When I read this, I actually realized that David really wanted to build the house of the Lord. When he saw after what he had given and the people, what they gave and rejoiced, he greatly rejoiced. And we see in 1 Chronicles 29:10-15, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly and said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and the earth is yours." I request Glory to read the rest of the...
Okay. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope."
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Glory. And in NIV, it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, David says, "But who am I and who are my people that they should be able to offer so willingly as this?" Also generously, as we have heard in NIV. And I was reading this going back to the point of the giving, yeah? "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you," yeah? God has already given you the all things. God is very good, eh? He's always into success. He gives you the thing, then requires of you to give you, then he gives you. So it's all really very easy in a way, yeah? You just have to be responsive and to obey. So all the things, those spoils I was talking about, those treasures, that abundance here, David said, these things, who are we that we can even give, yeah, to this building of the house of God? Because remember, the plans came from God, and God was giving the building the house. So already that was an honor to be able to build the house of the Lord. It is an honor for us to be part of LAT, yeah, in building that which God has called us to build. It is an honor for you to carry that promise that God has given you. Because sometimes we take it like maybe it is my thing, eh? But it's for a greater purpose. And you are able to offer so willingly because all things come from God, yeah? And he has given you those things. So the abundance that we have prepared, that we have come from God's hand, and so we will be able to give. Yeah, we shall be able to give, and we should be able to give. So in addition to the finances and all these things that are praised, where David blessed the people and blessed the Lord, we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29:20. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. So remember, they had given actual things, materials, currency, whatever they had. They continued to bless the Lord, led by King David, yeah? A man who was a true worshiper. Now I see it here, actually, how it is. And now they actually bow down and bless the Lord. So part of that offering that you should willingly give is worship. Yeah, is what? Worship. If you ever have a promise, and God has given you that promise and you're sure about it, if there's anything you should never leave out of your life is worship. Yeah, taking a moment to bow down, whatever that bowing down means to you, and worshiping the Lord in addition to giving of the very things that are of God, which he has given you to give to him. The other thing that they did in verse 21 is, and they made sacrifices to the Lord and offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the next day. So things were still building up. These were things are really building up. They have given the money, the silver, all that. They are blessing the Lord. They bow down to worship him. They say, no, we are not done yet. Sacrifices and a bad offer. The next day, they bring 1,000 bulls. Yeah, I don't know what 1,000 bulls mean to us these days. 1,000 rams, because even in Uganda, I don't know what is the, how many rams are in Uganda anyway. 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifice and abundance. But of course, this was in line of the statutes that God had given them about how to sacrifice. But they continued and gave more. So in addition to giving, just like David, who had that special treasury of gold and silver, these people consecrated themselves, and that consecration was shown in the offering willingly. Like we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29:6, they offered willingly as a response to the question of David that how will you consecrate yourselves. They offered willingly the talents, their own things, the spoils. Then they went on to praise and bless the Lord, to worship the Lord. They made offerings and they offered sacrifices. And we just have a testimony. Last Sunday we had here a time of offering sweet-smelling sacrifices unto the Lord through our praise and worship. And again, you go back and read the word of the week, but we are blessed. Everyone was blessed, including those who are not around. And in the word of the week, there was, I think, a vision or something. Yeah. Was it a vision? Yes. There was a vision by those people who I'm told to see, the seers. That's what was written. No, I don't know. But there was a vision by the people who see. I don't know. Yeah, whoever. The seers know themselves. That's the good thing. Yeah, just like we learned. Yeah. Okay, so I just wanted to read the vision. I'm trying to see in the vision. So at the end there was the, okay. Then followed the closing prayer, which I felt was longer than usual for the person who was praying. This is pastor who wrote the word for the week, as always. And I sensed through that was of the Spirit. As that praying was going on, one of us who is uniquely gifted to see in the Spirit was having a vision of what was actually happening in the unseen room. In the vision, he who was praying The closing prayer was extremely tall. His hand literally touched the ceiling of the hall. The rest of the congregation, which was all dressed in pure white, looked so tiny in the comparison. And as the person praying for us stretched out his hands, they too were extremely long, and his fingers, which looked like wings, spread from one end of the hall to another. And the vision, the word of the week concluded, the vision was in sync with the written word in Numbers 6, 22 to 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you should bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So again, this is a testimony of when we offer willingly, what happens. Indeed, you will have a blessing from the Lord. And the offertory that you give is not just about praise and worship. It's not only burnt offerings, but it also includes your dimes, your spoils, your treasures, yeah? As we have seen here. So please, if you have we have already believed the promise of God. So let's start the journey of consecration by offering willingly. Let's offer, let's give our finances, material wealth or riches, worship, whatever it is to you. And finally, I want to end with, we need to start, yeah, as part of preparation. You need to what? To start. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1, Solomon starts to build. Solomon started to build. He has been encouraged. He has believed. King David has, people have offered. They have worshipped the Lord. And 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1, 1 to 2. Mark and I gave you 1, but we'll read 1 to 2. Then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for himself. Solomon selected 70,000 men to bear burdens, 8,000 to carry stone in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them. So he started, and how he started? By selecting what? Laborers and supervisors. That's what I call them here, eh? These people who are to carry burdens, I term them as laborers, eh? Because you have to carry stone and things like that, and the 3,600 to oversee them, yeah? Those are supervisors. So it was now time. So part of the preparation is we have to start. You cannot be there forever, eh? You have to what? Start, yeah? You have to take the first step, yeah? You have to select the laborers, the supervisors. So that is one thing he did. But also another thing he did, in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, you read it through 16. He writes a letter. He remembered that my father David had a good friend who loved him, and his name was Hiram. Yeah, this same story is somehow reflected in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 18. So he selected the laborers. Solomon showed up. He began to build. But when you read it in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 18, I'll just read some of the verses. "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because they had anointed him." So Solomon had been anointed as king. By the way, step back in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. After they had worshipped burnt offerings and all that, they anointed Solomon again as king the second time, eh? Yeah, so, yeah, God's anointing is not one time, I suppose, eh? But they anointed him again, eh? God can give you a new grace, a new blessing. So for those of you who keep thinking that, we are always singing that song, "God bless you, God," eh? Don't belittle it, eh? There's always a new blessing, an anointing that is for the season and whatever God wants you to do. Yeah, that just came now. So anyway, 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram always loved David." Yeah. So sometimes when you're getting ready to start, you have done your bit. Remember, the contacts. Ask for help. You may have contacts and networks here. Solomon remembered that there was this man, this king, who loved David. And he sent to him, he wrote him a letter. That letter is there in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1, but also here to 16. He says, you know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God. And I like the way he kept how it all started. You don't change the reasons, because sometimes when we are getting this contest, God has blessed you, has given you the reason, he has given you the plans. Now in starting, you bring in your own what? Things. You begin to leave out God because you're like, maybe I'm being too much. But he kept to the script. He says, you know, my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord. Not just saying he couldn't build a house. So whatever God has told you, don't try and sanitize it, and make it look nice with the English, with the Swahili, whatever language you're wondering. Say it the way God told it to you, which you have believed, and do it, even when you're telling the people you're reaching out. Remember, here he's reaching out to someone who loved David. He's not just reaching out to anyone. So I'm talking about reaching out to people who know, love David. So he knew David. He knew David wanted to build a house. So reaching out to those people who are aware of your promise, who are ready to help you, who love the Lord. You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord, his God, because of wars, which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. So, I think it's in 1 Chronicles where it says David could not build because he had a lot of blood. Here, it gives more context by saying because of the wars which were fought against him. So yes, he had wars, but there were wars being fought against him. Now, when you're in that time of war, you can't be building the temple of the Lord until the Lord put his foes under his soles, under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord. So he asked for help, but in that letter therein, he recognizes that now I have no what? Adversaries. Was it last year where we had that a great and effective door has opened, but behold, there are what? Adversary? Yeah? Something like that. But now we are not, that's not now where we are. We have no what? Yeah. Okay, I've not had a word. Someone may have had, had a dream last night, be seeing a vision now. I don't know. But there is neither adversary or evil occurrences. Yeah, so he said now. So that was for him a sign to start, to start building. Because he knew my father loved to build. He prepared all these things, where the cedar was going to come from Lebanon, from where he made contacts, but he's not able to build. Now I'm here. How would he know when to start? He knew how to start because he looked at the things that prevented his father from starting. And one of the things was adversaries everywhere. Ngomlaba kwezins, all over you, things are on you, against you, and that is what he used. So let us be alert. Let us be alert. Don't miss the time to start. Be alert. Be alert and start. Ask for help from someone who loves your father. I don't know. Your friend. You can have a friend who loves you, but you don't know that the person loves you. Forget these likes on social media. Subscribe here and what and all that. But there are people who may genuinely love you, care for you, but you don't ask them for help. Ask, and those supplies, those cedars. And when you read the whole chapter, not the whole chapter, okay. Actually the whole chapter, Hiram begins to ferry these things, the logs and so on and so forth, to help with the work of the Lord. So let's remain alert to know the time to take action, just as in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. Also regarding this, during the week, we a certain experience happened that when I was writing this, reminded me of being alert. We had wanted to make some small changes at home, But how you talk about things, that's why I said, where is the plan? Is it in your head? Where is it? Eh? In the week, my husband mentions the issue, mentions about the issue, how we ought to start. And when he mentioned it, immediately the next morning, I make some contacts with the people who love us. I made some contacts with the people who love us. When I made the contacts, quick, things were moving very fast. And when things started moving fast, because I had been working with one of our daughters, who I won't name, you can do a research. I have three daughters. The ones that you know, I have three daughters. But one of the daughters had known the small plan. So she's with me. I'm trying to tell her. Then she tells me, Mommy, Daddy has taken over. Told me Daddy has taken over. Things are now like this. They are in high gears. Forget the other plan and all these things. So sometimes what you need to do is take a step. And Daddy will do what? And Daddy will do what? Will take over. Your Heavenly Father will do what? Will take over. Start small. Daddy may take what? Daddy will take over. And when Daddy takes over, things are, she told me, Mommy, the things I no longer understand. There's this. I said, yeah. That is why might is arriving. So I encourage all of us, whatever it is, start small. Someone may hear you, I don't know what you love to do. Paint what? I don't know your interests. Someone sees you and then they take over. They upgrade you to something that you thought was just a plaything. Shaky, why do you want Daddy to take over? Your Heavenly Father to take over? You may have children. You may have things that you desire. You may have things that you desire. Start small, however small it is. Daddy may take over. Your Heavenly Father will take over to another level. He'll take over. He'll bring the Hirams of this world. Who will ferry what? Logs. You're making deals, big deals. Deals that you never anticipated, and things will be accelerated. So, as we end today, I just want to recap again. We have been talking about preparing. We need to prepare with all our might. Might, yes, I don't know if it involves muscles, maybe if you're going to run, but that's not that. I'm not talking about six packs, but maybe there's a place for six packs. The boys, guys here may say. There's a place. There may be a place for six packs, like there's a place for beautifying, maybe, in that case. But let's prepare with all our might. David prepared all his might, his special treasures. We saw the story of Esther and Daniel, how they prepared with the gifts and talents that they had, but they also had to be trained. And let's prepare with consecration, which consecration comes with offering willingly. Let's offer willingly. When something is offered willingly, it comes with joy, like how we read of David. It comes, there's a natural joy, not affect happiness. There's a natural joy that comes with it and rejoicing. Let's offer willingly. Let's offer our spouse. Let's offer our worship. Let's offer the sacrifices. And then let us start. Start and Daddy will take over. And Daddy is your loving Heavenly Father. May God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.